Rosh HaKol. It's well known when we approach Shavuos. So we have the famous kasha that Magen Avraham asks, it's brought in the Hilchos Shavuos, that why is it, we know that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there's the machlokes which day the Torah was given, and according to the sheet of the Rabbanan, the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. In the course of the sugya, it comes out that this question is linked to a shaila in halacha and hilchos nida, paleta shechva zera. And to make a long story short, the way we pass in the halacha, it comes out that we essentially hold that the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan. That being the case, so the Magen Avraham asks, so how is it that on Vav Sivan you could say Zman Matan Torah Seinu? It's not true. It's not when the Torah was given. The Torah was given on Zion. And, you know, for us in Chutz La'aretz, you say, well, we have the Sveik of the Yomis, so we have Yontif on, on Zion also, but that's not really a Teretz. It's only because of the Suffolk. But in Eretz Yisrael, where it's only on Vav, and back in the days when they had the Kiddush HaChodesh the way it's supposed to be, it was possible for Shavuos to fall out on Hay Sivan, if both Nisan and Iyar were Mole, if they each had 30 days. So how is it, asked the Magen Avraham, that in the davening we could refer to Shavuos as Man Matan Tereseinu? So there's a often discussed question, many terutzim offered. But in the Oneg Yontif, he says a very interesting thing. He says that the truth is, if you look in the Torah, it doesn't indicate. No date is given for Shavuos. The only thing that we find about it is that it's totally in the sphere of Shiva Shavuos. Shiva Shavuos, Tisbalcha, Mehochel Chermish, Bakoma, the Torah says, you count 7 weeks. And whenever the 7 weeks end, that's when you make the Yontif of Shavuos. So says the Oneg Yontif that it seems that the Yontif is totally in the 7 weeks, apparently because the 7 weeks leading up to Shavuos reflect the time of preparation, the time of a person making himself roi for Kabbalah. In other words, the Matan Torah is only half the story. The other half of the story is that the Klal Yisrael was Makabal the Torah. And coming out of Mitzrayim, that was not something that was so easy to do. So because of the fact that they went through 7 weeks of Hachana, so it comes out that that was really the Iker. So that process makes it that Memeila it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. In other words, because that's really, in other words, it's a Zman that's Roy for Matan Torah. After a person, it's not, that doesn't mean Zman Matan Torah Seinu, that that's the day the Torah was given. But rather it means that it's the Zman that's Roy for the Matan Torah after a person goes through Hachana, after a person goes through a 7 week period of preparation. So then already it's the time that a person is Roy to accept the Torah. So therefore, when we approach Shavuos, really, you know, Shavuos comes and goes, one of the Shalosh Regolim, but you blink and it's over. You know, Pesach and Sukkot, you have Chol HaMoed with first day's Yontif, last day's Yontif, and Shavuos, it's very easy, you know, before you realize it, the Yontif is no more. And really, I think that therefore it's the most important from every yontif that we have, that person has to go into Shavuos prepared. Because you have to chaperayin. In other words, the yontif is there for a reason. The yontif, the Moadei Hashem are not anniversaries, they're not commemorations, but rather it's an ongoing process that a person is supposed to be inspired. That every single year, as a person goes through the year, there's different aspects of inspiration that a person needs. And when he comes to Yom Teruah, it's one, and Sukkot is another, and Pesach is another, and Chanukah and Purim, and then you come to Shavuos, so you have to be ready, you have to be ready. If you're not ready, it just comes and goes. And a person who just walks away from Shavuos saying, I had the Geshmaka cheesecake, or whatever it is, we got the most incredible flowers, etc. So that's not the yontif. So in order to really do that, a person, you have to be ready for it, and you have to be ready to take something away. What's going to be the takeaway from Shavuos? And obviously, the takeaway has to be that on every Shavuos, every single year, a person has to make some sort of Kabbalah Satar. Some sort of Kabbalah Satar, meaning that whether it's the pshat that he appreciates the Torah more, that will in turn inspire him to dedicate more of his time to learning, and more of his time to following in the ways of the Torah. That's what Shavuos is. If a person goes through Shavuos and doesn't walk away with that, so you're not Yotzei Shavuos. I mean, the rest of it is nice, but there's not very much to show for it. In other words, it's the only yontif that has no mitzvahs, right? In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was a carbon that was associated with Shavuos, but we don't have that either anymore. So what are we left with, right? Sukkos, you have all the mitzvahs. You're surrounded by mitzvahs. You sit in a sukkah, you shake a lulav, and Pesach, obviously, and come Shavuos, nothing. So the teretz is that obviously what must happen on Shavuos is that a person has to, in some way, deepen his commitment to Torah. So I'd like to speak a few words, hopefully towards that end. I'd like to begin. The Gemara tells us, the famous Gemara in Maseches Yuman Daf Lamed Hei, that the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says that there will be three types of people, Ani ve'osher ve'rosha born l'din. Three types of people, a poor man, a rich man, and a rosha, come to judgment after 120 years. They stand in front of the Bezen Shalmala. L'ani omrim lo mipnei ma lo asakta b'tarah. So to the poor man, they'll say, why didn't you learn? Right? In other words, here's a person, he comes up to Shemayim, he was a very poor man, and he didn't learn. So they'll ask him, why not? So, im omer ani ayisi v'tarat b'mizonosai, so if he will say that I was a poor man, and I was very busy, I had no time, I had no yeshiva das, I lived a very stressful life, I was constantly struggling for parnasa. So they will say to him, Amrim lo, klum ani ayisi osimi Hillel, were you poorer than Hillel? Hillel was a much greater ani, he was an incredibly poor man. And yet we find the famous story in the Gemara, I'm not going to go into it, but we all know that Hillel's Mesiras Nefesh for learning despite his terrible poverty is legendary. So they'll say to him, you should have been like Hillel. So then the Gemara says, what about the Ashir? So Ashir Amrim lo mipnei malu asakta b'tara. So then now the Ashir comes, the rich man, who also apparently lived life without learning much. So they will say to him, why didn't you learn? So im omer Ashir ha'isi v'tara de'isi b'nechsai. So if he will say, well, you know, I was very wealthy, and I couldn't learn. I had so many responsibilities, so many assets, so many holdings, so many investments. It was impossible. I couldn't concentrate. I didn't have a second. So they will say to him, says the Gemara, Omrim lo, klum osher ayisa yosem Rabbi Elazar. Were you a wealthier man than Rabbi Elazar? And the Gemara proceeds to say, Omrim lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum, sheiniach lo'aviv elef ayaris bi'aboshu, keneged elef sfinas bayam, uv'chol yom v'yom, that Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum was an incredibly rich man. His father was a billionaire, left over incredible holdings in the bi'aboshu, and in the islands, and in the ocean, and in the yam, and in the land, all kinds of things. And yet, we find the Gemara says that he was most nefesh to learn. Fine. And then the Gemara comes to the last one. Rasha omrim lo. The Rasha. Now what does it mean, the Rasha? So it seems from the Gemara, you see in the context of the Gemara, the person who spent his life pursuing the pleasures of the world. So they will say to him, ipnei ma lo asakta b'tara. So the question will be posed to him, why didn't you learn? Why didn't you learn? So Im Omar, if he will say, Noah Hayisi, Vitorid Biyitzri, he will say, you know, I didn't learn. I was very handsome. And because I was very handsome, I had a lot of people interested in me. I had a very busy social life. And Mamela, I couldn't learn. I couldn't learn. I was always running around partying. I was invited to every party. I was the peak of popularity. And Mamela, I couldn't learn. So they will say to him, so says the Gemara that they will say to him, so Omrim, well, they'll say to him, were you more than Yosef? Kum noah ha'yisam Yosef? Were you more than Yosef? And the Gemara proceeds to say that the mice of Yosef and the Ashes Potiphar, how she was always after him, and he managed to overcome his Yetzahar. So these are the three situations, and the Gemara, it seems from the Gemara that everyone in the world fits into one of these three situations, more or less. In other words, you have the person who's very fadaiget, the person who's very worried about his parnasa from the perspective of the fact that it's difficult. He has no ability to concentrate. He has no peace of mind. Then you have the person who's very wealthy, who, for a different reason, a problem maybe we wish we had, but apparently it's not so simple either, that a person should be so consumed with all of this. And then you have the person who's running around having a good time. So what comes out of this Gemara is that after everything's said and done, nobody has an excuse, because everybody has a role model that they should have looked at. So the poor man should have looked at Hillel, the rich man should have looked at Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam, and the Rosha should have looked at Yosef Hatzad. So this is the Gemara, well-known Gemara. Now, obviously, the questions here are many. People say, you ask the Kashi, you know, how do I come to Hillel? What does Hillel have to do with me? He was a much bigger tzaddik than I was. Fine, but I would like to focus on one point, and that is the last person. The last person is the ani we could understand a little bit. How a person could come up to Shemayim and say, I couldn't learn because I was an ani, so we could understand that, because a person could relate. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. And especially in the old days when the world wasn't like today, where people lived in the fear of possibly dying of starvation or their children, Rechmal Etzlan. So it's not a simple thing. And even the usher, you could understand how a person could be so completely overwhelmed. Okay. But the Rosha comes, he comes in front of the Bezen Shalmala. He's not talking to his friends, he's talking to the Bezen Shalmala. And they ask him, why didn't you learn? Why didn't you learn? So what's his answer? His answer is, wow, I was busy partying. Who are you talking to? Who's going to accept? You know, you're not talking to some friend of yours, like a nice guy. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, true. Enoch and Ami is such a handsome fella, yeah, partying. You're talking to the Bezen Shalmala. One would think that in such a situation, a person would have to say the truth and is going to say, but the best teretz, right? You can't come up with a lawyer, but still and all, every person has within him to think of his best teretz. What are you going to say in a situation like that? So this is his best teretz? So the answer apparently is vaista. It's apparently that life is so complex, and there could be so many nisyonos, that it's shaykh that a person, even in a situation like this, could say this to the Bezen Shalmala and have a havamina, that they'll let him off the hook. In other words, he's going to get off the hook. I said, listen, it wasn't, because the reality is that the nisyonos of life are very difficult. That's the reality. The challenges that we face every single day, whether it's in our times or in other times, you know, we like to think of our times as being particularly difficult, which is probably true. But nevertheless, you see from the Gemara that it wasn't so easy in other daras either. But the fact of the matter is, and it's shayach to such an extent that a person could have such a matzah where the temptation from every direction just overwhelms him, and I'm lured by this, I'm lured by that. Even the not the financial pressures that everybody's familiar with, but even stam the glitter of the world, the different things that pull at us, that it's shayach that it could create such an assign that a person have a havamina that will stand in front of the Bezen Shalmala and he's going to give this as a teretz, and he thinks it may work. And the truth of the matter is that it's mashma from the Gemara that it would work, except for the fact that they'll say to him, but you should have looked at Yosef. So what you see from here is the two things. As mitzad echad, I think what you see from here is that the nisyonos that we face, every person when it comes to Shavuos has to make a cheshbon. The same way we make a cheshbon for Yom Neroa. A person comes for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, so everybody's very focused and very serious. But the truth is, it's the same thing before Shavuos. Because on Shavuos, a person has to make a din v'cheshbon. He's confronted by the Torah. In other words, Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Think about that. As Hashem gave the Torah, it's his Torah. Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Hashem included Klal Yisrael in the process of Torah, right? The Torah is Lov HaShemayim, doesn't matter anymore. Once the Matan Torah took place, there was an incredible change in the whole context of the Torah, that no longer are decisions made by Shemayim. It doesn't matter if a Bas Kol comes out and says that Loch is like Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus. We don't care, because the Torah is Lov HaShemayim. The Torah goes, it was given to people. So the Torah was given, Hashem's greatest gift was given to people, and every year when it comes Shavuos, we have to make a cheshbon, and what are we doing about it? And what are we doing about it? If the King of all kings shares with you his most precious possession, where do you come to say no? Where does a person come to say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm very busy. How can you say such a thing? So this is a cheshbon that we have to make. But you see from the Gemara, the good news is that you see from the Gemara that apparently the nisyonos of life are so difficult that a shaykh, that in certain situations, a person could have used the nisyonos as an excuse in the Bezen Shalman. He might even have gotten away with it were it not for three individuals, were it not for three historic figures who set an example for all time of how you just have to put everything aside and it makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are or what your situation is. A person has to learn. So mitzad echad, the Gemara here is sort of validating the fact that we all have challenges, and a person says, "Well, I would like to learn. I don't have so much time. Whatever it is." But mitzad acher, you see over here that nothing is an excuse. And nothing is an excuse. Why? Because of the fact that the urgency, the desperation, which the Torah presents, the world, that a person cannot live in the world. A person cannot live in the world and live an upstanding life without the Torah. So it's desperate. It's a desperate situation. And in a desperate situation, people have to resort to desperate measures. And the desperate measures mean that you may just have to put stuff aside. We may just have to put things aside. And as much as everyone is busy, and as much as everyone has their different situations, but a person just has to deher that this is, there's no choice. There's no choice. That's what the Chazal is saying. It's a hagufa kasha. So had Yosef do it? How did Abelazim and Chayasim do it? How did Hillel do it? The answer is because they dehered something. What they realized was that there just is no other choice. And a person has to set aside time to learn. And a person has to apply himself and not just come to a shir once in a while, but a person has to come as often as he can. Today we have we're blessed with the fact that there are many svarim that a person could, even a person without a great background, could learn on their own to some degree. Obviously much better to come to a shir and learn the Torah be'iyun to whatever degree a person can. But the fact of the matter is that we're blessed with all of these opportunities. And mitzad sheni, we live in a world which has, for lack of a better way of saying it, we live in a world that has gone mad. The world is tight meshuga. I mean, you see what goes on. It's crazy. It's crazy what you see, the way people act, the way people speak, the way people carry themselves, the bizyonis that people, the utter degradation of humanity that takes place in our time. All you see this everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. So what does that say? So that points to the fact that they're clueless. That people are clueless. They don't know. It's not because they're bad people. It's not because they're ashamed. But there's nothing to guide them. They have no way to... They just can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. So in every generation, people are left up to the, so to speak, the chachamim yodei ha'itim, you know, in every dar. You pick up the newspaper and you read this editorial and this chacham and this one says, and they have 100 reasons to believe it's true until 10 years later, the whole attitude of the world changes. And now all of that is not just passe, but you bichlal can't even say such a thing. You can't even think such a thing anymore. It's not politically correct to say such a thing. And we live in a world that goes back and forth and up and down and around in circles. And we all are witness to this. And we're all witness to this. So in Mela, what comes out is that it all points in the same direction. That a person has to learn. And a person has to apply himself. You cannot be a frum Jew just by keeping the mitzvahs. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can keep the mitzvah. It's a tremendous thing to keep the mitzvah. Put on tefillin, eat kosher food, keep the taras mishpacha. Wonderful. But the fact of the matter is that without Talmud Torah, it's the lifeline of the Klal Yisrael. It's the life, always has been, always will be. And this is something that when it comes Shavuos, we have to take account of this. You know, Shavuos doesn't come with thunder and lightning. You know, Pesach, people are hyperventilating, women especially are hyperventilating already from Tu B'Shvat at the thought that it's going to be Pesach. Right? Sukkot, people are frantic. After Yom Kippur ends, everyone's besimcha, you dance L'shana Bavir Yerushalayim, and then they're ready, the panic. I have to get my sukkah up. I have to get a lulav. What's going to be? All kinds of things. But Shavuos just sort of sneaks up on us. You know, yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, whatever. And it doesn't require such a big achana. This is a terrible mistake. This is a terrible mistake because the fact of the matter is that it's all for Shavuos. Why does Hashem take the Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim for? For what reason? Not that they should be free. It wasn't the emancipation of the slaves. Right? Hashem took the Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Tavnos Elokim al Harazah. That's what it is. So therefore, when it comes to Shavuos, it's very easy to miss it. You blink and you missed it. But a person has to make that hachana. We find the effect that the Torah has on a person, what the Torah did for us, what the Kabbalah of the Torah did is fascinating. We find in Parshas Bo, the Torah says that before Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, so the promise that was made to Avraham Avinu, that v'achareichem yetzu b'rechush gadol, that everyone will go out in great wealth, had to be kept. That promise needed to be kept. So we have the pasuk says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dabro b'nei Yisrael, v'yishalu ishmei esh re'eyu, v'isha mei esh re'usa, that each man should ask from his fellow man, meaning that the Jew should go to the Mitzri, the male Jew to the male Mitzri, and the female Jew to the female Mitzri, and he asked them for all their kelim, etc. So the Rishonim pick up, Rabbeinu B'chai in his parish on the Chumash picks up on the fact that the word Re'ehu does not seem appropriate. Because we know, a person learns Bava Kama, so you know that the word Re'ehu is taken in Halacha to mean appear. Appear, a person in the same standing. For example, the Gemara says that if a Jew is Mazik HaGoy, well, so he's Potter, he doesn't have to pay, and really Me'ikar Adin should be the same way in reverse. And the reason for that is because the Torah says ki igach shor ish ashor eyu, that it says if the shor of a man gores the shor of his fellow man, so the word re'eyu means is taken to mean only a person on the same standing. So therefore, it has to be Yisrael to Yisrael. It wouldn't be Yisrael to a guy. It wouldn't be Yisrael to Hektish. Right? It has to be two people on the same standing. So the question is asked, so if that's a Sofrek Rabbeinu B'chai, if that's the case, so then how there does the Torah refer to a Jew to a Mitzri, the Yishalu Ishmei Es Re'eyu? It's not Ishmei Es Re'eyu. Re'eyu is below Akum. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Kama. So what are you telling me, Ishmei Es Re'eyu? So Rabbeinu B'chai says an amazing thing. He says that before the Torah was given, all of mankind were considered Re'eyu. Everybody was, so to speak, loosely translated. Everybody was friends. But after the Torah was given, so it became a big rift. They weren't friends anymore. Everybody went one way, right? The Umas Olam made a left turn into oblivion, and the Klal Yisrael remained Reim with the Rabban Shalom. So says Rabbeinu Mechai. So I heard from my Rebbe Zatzal years ago, he asked the Kashi, he said, what do you mean, before the Torah was given, they were all Reim? The Mitzrim were persecuting the Jews, they were throwing the babies into the ocean. So what kind of Reis is that? At this point, it's Yishul Ishmei Yisrael, their good mom, my good buddy, the Mitzri, who just did this terrible thing to me, who just tortured me. How could you call such a person Reyehu? So he said a very remarkable thing. He said that, Ein Hachanami, it's true, that there were huge differences. But the differences were in Hanhaga, the differences were in the way people led their lives, but in the essence of the person, everybody was essentially the same. Meaning that there was a dimion, there was still pretty, they're in the same league. You're the same league, like Lahavdil, you have in a league, in a sports league. Not every team is the same. Some are very good, some are very bad, but they're in the same league. But before the Torah was given, everybody in the world, all the people, Jews, Goyim, everybody, was Re'eyu. And therefore, the Pasuk is appropriate to say, V'yishul Yishreis Re'eyu. However, once the Torah was given, everything changed. And now, Rabbeinu B'chai quotes the pasuk, "L'man achai v'rei'ai." The Rabban Shalom says that who now I'm friends. Now we have different friends. We're no longer friends with the Umos HaOlam. Now we're friends with Hashem. The difference that the Matan Torah made in the history of the world. It wasn't just a question of mitzvahs. It wasn't just a question of now you have something to study. The Torah transforms a person into an entirely different being. And once the Torah was given, that's it. There's nothing in common anymore. There's nothing in common. Whereas before the Matan Torah, Jews and Goyim were also very different. But there was enough of a commonality. There was enough there that you could say in some way it's Re'eyu. But once the Torah was given, that's it. That's it. Forget it. Because we're playing on a higher standard, and the crown of the Torah, the Kesset Torah that was given to people is such that that was given to the Klal Yisrael is such that we no longer we're in a different, altogether different metzias, a different metzias than the goyim, and we have to appreciate this because we live in a time where we're very accepted by the goyim. And Mamela is very easy. The guy is always pointing out the similarities. And we get lured into this. It's very, you know, it's nice to be accepted. It's nice to be in a place where everybody is welcoming and everybody is accepting. And then in Mamela, it's tempting for a person to go in that direction. But when Shavuos comes, we have to remember that it's okay. Yeah, you're living in a world. You're living in Gaul. You're living amongst Goyim. Okay, and the Chanami. You live amongst people. You have to be menschlich and you have to be honest. You have to be erlich. But the fact of the matter is that how I live my life and how they live their lives have no shaykhus. There's no shaykhus in those two things. And therefore, and it's difficult because we're bombarded with so many things that point to, you know, it tempts us and lures us to follow in the ways of the Goyim, but we have to remember that once the Torah is given, there's no more Re'eyu. That's it. It's us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is Shavuos. These are the realizations that a person has to come to mind. Shavuos, we have nothing to do. There are no mitzvahs. You don't have to worry that maybe you didn't blow the shofar right. You know, the brisket sit all day, maybe blowing, make sure they got exactly the right colors come out of the shofar. You don't have any such preoccupation on Shavuos. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do except to be mekabel the Torah, which is the hardest thing to do. Which is that a person has to really say that's it. I appreciate it. I deher it. I get it. We could live with the Torah. We could live and we could learn and we could attend shiurim and we could make time and we could do mitzvahs. But we still don't get it. We don't get it. On Shavuos, a person has to think and a person has to deher. That when you say Shalosanu Kedoya Ratzos Shalosamana Kamishpachos Hadama, right? That's not, you're not kidding. Say it three times a day. A person has to realize what that means and what the repercussions of that are and how that's supposed to affect us in the way we lead our lives. The Gemara tells us. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the extent to which this goes, and it's frightening. We have here, the Gemara says, on Daf Samach Hey in Sanhedrin, the Gemara relates that when Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkas, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol got sick, so the Gemara says, Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer nichnesu Rabbi Kiva v'chaveru v'vakro. So Rabbi Kiva and his chaverim, his contemporaries, all went to visit the Gadol Ador, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkas. So it says that after the Maisa, the famous Maisa Tanur Shalachnoi, so Rabbi Elazar ben Horkas was to some degree distant from everybody else, but nonetheless, so they went in to visit him. So the Gemara says, Omer Lahem, so he said to them, Lama Basam. He said to them, why are you here? What did you come for? So Omer Lo, so they said back to him, Lomo Tarabanu, that we came to learn. You're the God of Adar, we came to learn. Omer Lahem, so he said to them, Va'ad Achshav Lama Lo Basam. So where were you until now? Where were you until now? In other words, now you came to learn. What was yesterday? So the Gemara says, Omer Lahem, Omer Lo, they said back to him, Lohayalanu Psnai. We were busy. We couldn't make it. Now you're talking about Rabbi Kiva and his friends. We couldn't make it. Says the Gemara, Omar Lahen, so Rabbi Elazar ben Horkas said, scary thing, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkas said, Tmiya ani im yamusu misas atzman. He says, I will be shocked if any one of these people die a natural death. Meaning that it's an avla what they did, that they didn't come sooner, and because of that, each one of them, I am sure, he's not wishing it upon them, but he's saying there's going to be a big onesh min hashamayim for this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Kiva, and he apparently said this in such a way that it was audible, so that everyone heard it. So Amar Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva said, Shali Mahu. So Rabbi Kiva said, and what about me? In other words, the whole tain on them is you didn't come, you didn't learn, you missed out. Rabbi Kiva, who was a historic, not just the Gadol in his generation, but the historic Gadol, the Gadol for all times, right? Compared even in some ways to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Kiva said, what about me? Amar lo, so Rabbi Lezman Horkana said, Shelcha kosha mishalahem, that you're going to get it the worst. You're going to get it the worst. You're going to get it worse than them. Why? So Rashi says, Shelcha kosha mishalahem, ipnei shelibcha pasuach ku'ulam, because you have the greatest capacity to learn. V'iu shimashtani, and if you would have come and learned Torah from me, says Rabbi Lezman Horkana, ha'yisa lama Torah harbe, you would have gained the most. So from everybody, you missed the most by not coming. And as Rabbi Kiva was thinking that just the opposite, that, you know, I the biggest chacham, so therefore, okay, maybe people missed out, but what did I miss out? So Rabbi Lezman Horkana said to him, no, actually, you missed out the most. And therefore, you're going to get it the worst. And the Gemara proceeds to say, as we all know, that Rabbi Kiva's end was a very difficult misa mishun. So what you see from here is a Dover Pella. Right? So Chaim Shmulevitz says, you see over here a Dover Pella, that you're not talking about people who didn't come to learn because they were watching a ball game. Right? I couldn't come. It was a Super Bowl Sunday. I couldn't come to learn. Right? That wasn't the Teretz. Right? It wasn't because I'm too busy. It wasn't because I had to go to, you know, my nephew's upsharon. Right? That wasn't the excuse. They didn't come. They were all learning. There's no doubt. You're dealing here with the Tanoim of the highest caliber. So these people are learning. But Lamaisa, the Taina on them was, but you could have been that much greater. Had you applied yourself more, had you been Mishamish a Talmud Chochem, had you come and been Mishamish a Gadol Ador like me, says Rebbe Lezman Horkanus, you would have been even greater. So as great as you are, which is incredibly great, but you would have been even greater. And this is something that a little bit, you know, people, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, you sometimes come across a scary Maimer Chazal, you know, you see a Gemara or a Medrash, and you say that, you know, that. But what do we say before Shavuos to this? What do we say before Shavuos to this? You know, a person says, yeah, I go to the Kol every night to learn. Okay. Is that, who says that's enough? And who says that maybe you could make a little more time to go? And maybe a person could go and put in a little more effort? As you see over here, that even a slight amount of effort made a huge difference, because you can't say about Rabbi Kiva, the difference between Rabbi Kiva was and Rabbi Kiva would have been can't be great. I mean, it's not like he would have learned 100 times more. He was learning anyway. The Teretz is, but he would have, in some way, it would have been a greater elevation for his learning if he would have been Mishamish Rebbe Lezeben Horkunas, instead of staying wherever he was and learning. Learning was Talmidim, learning was Chavrusa, who knows what it was. And for that, they are told that this is not going to be good. Rebbe Lezeben Horkunas said, this is not going to be good. So obviously, now we can't walk out, you know, frightened, what's going to be, because obviously you're dealing here with people on the Madrega that we have no shaykhs to. But the Yisod is true. The Yisod is true by everybody. In other words, what you see here is that the degree to which a person learns is not enough. But due to all of the challenges that we have in our lives, which are many and numerous and headaches, and the world is crazier than ever, and, you know, you read about Rabbi Lozman Chayasim that, you know, his father left him 1,000 ships and 1,000 islands, and you say, it's incredible, but, you know, we also have like that, because today the world changed in May with all the technology that we have. The world became impossible to learn, because now you can do business 24 hours a day. You can do business all over the world. It doesn't matter if the sun goes down. Right? It used to be that the night was a time for learning. Right? Kumi Roni Belaila, the Medrash says in Eicha, right? That the Rina Shalaila is a person sits and learns, because nights were associated with learning. But that changed. That changed. Electricity and the internet and all the technological products, the global economy, that all changed. A person could do business 2 o'clock in the morning. As we all know. So therefore, the challenges are enormous. There's no question. It shouldn't be taken the wrong way, like some guy got up and started making like it's the easiest thing. Everyone understands, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, in terms of the challenges and the lack of yeshiva das that a person has in today's world, with all the things to worry about and all the things that sit on a person's head, no matter what his matzav is. There's always a full plate of daigus, there's always a full plate of issues, of concerns, but the fact of the matter is that, like the Gemara in Yuma says, it's not a teretz. It's not a teretz because, not because it's be'et etzem, not a teretz, because the Bez Shalmala would have accepted it. The reason why it's not a teretz is because a person has to understand the utter desperation, the utter need to sit down and learn. That without learning, a person has nothing. Without learning, a person can't continue. So therefore, that has to trump everything. That it just doesn't matter. There are certain times that it just doesn't matter. I have no choice. I just got to put everything aside and take care of this. Right? We all know you get into certain situations. I just have to take care of this. So the Chazal is saying that this is the type of attitude that a person has to have on an ongoing basis to learn. And ad kidei kach, that the demand that is made, the tefillah on a person, is to such a degree that you could have been, the person say, well, I'm already a big Talmud Chacham. I'm already a big Talmud Chacham. I already learned. I have many things. I have Siddurim. I have on my phone. I have this. I have that. I get the emails. I read the Torah online. All kinds, which is fine. Very good. But the fact of the matter is that to whatever degree a person has the ability to put himself even a little more. How much more would it have been if Rabbi Akiva would have showed up by Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus? How much more would it have been? But that little difference in terms of the quantity would have apparently made an enormous qualitative difference. And so it is by everybody. So it is by everybody that the ability to learn even a little bit more makes a very big difference. And this, Rabbi say, these are thoughts that we have to consider when we come to Shavuos. This is what a person has to think. A person has to walk away from Shavuos charged. Yeah, it's a time to charge up the battery. The way it falls out is interesting. The way the world is set up today, the calendar of the world is set up. Shavuos is already the beginning of the summer, unofficial beginning of the summer, and it's already spring is in the air and the summer is in the air, and people are already thinking about going on vacation. And anyway, Shavuos is low-key, so to speak, yontif, or so it is perceived. But if a person deheres it, it's not at all. It's not at all. It's really a crucial time. It's a crucial time that a person has to sit down and not to scare himself, but a person has to sit down and really push himself and really say to himself, so what could I do more? The Kabbalah Zotar in the year 2015, Tav Shinayin Hey, what more could I do? What more can I do right now? That's the question. It's not the anniversary of the Matan Torah. It's anyway not the anniversary of the Matan Torah, as we said at the outset. So that's not the point. The point is that it's Matan Torah Seinu. It's an ongoing process of Matan Torah. It's an ongoing process of Kabbalah Torah. A person has to strengthen himself. And I would just end with one last thought. The we have in Rus. So the Megillas Rus begins. Rav, right? The very first Rav, right? It's Vahibim Yeshvot HaShoftim, Vahi Rav Ba'aretz, that there was a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael. And because of that famine, so as we know, Elimelech, who was one of the leaders of the Goli Adar, picked up and relocated the Moab. Okay. So the Medrash here, the Medrash Rabbah, says an interesting thing. The Medrash says that Asara Rav on Bol Olam. There were 10 famines in the history of the world. I assume what that means is that there were 10, historic famines in the history of the world. Okay, and then they go through the Cheshvin, Echad Bimei Adam Arishon, Echad Bimei Lemech, Echad Bimei Avram, right, some we're familiar with, Echad Bimei Avram, Echad Bimei Yitzchak, Echad Bimei Yaakov, Echad Bimei Eliyahu, Echad Bimei Elisha, Echad Bimei David, Echad Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, right, Echad Shemizgagol Bala'olam, okay, 9 famines, the 8 of which we heard of, etc. And then the final one is that it says that, I'm sorry, the Echad Shemizgagol Bala'olam, one that, at least at the time that of the Medrash, was something that was yet to come. What is the one that's yet to come? So the Medrash proceeds to say that the 10th Rav is not a famine of physical deficiency, but rather the Medrash quotes the Pasuk that Hine Yomim Barim Num Hashem Vishlachti Rav Ba'aretz, a pasuk in Shreyos or in Amos, Vishlachti Rav Ba'aretz, Lo Rav, Lo Lechem, Lo Tzom, Lo Mayim. That the Navi says that there's going to be a time that there's going to be a famine in the world, and that famine is not going to be due to a shortage of bread, nor due to a lack of water, but rather it's going to be Kiyim L'Shmo as Divrei Hashem, that people are going to be thirsty for the words of Hashem.
So says the Medrash. Now this pasuk is somewhat well known, even made into a nigun years ago, and anyone who ever heard this pasuk sort of thinks that, well, that's actually good news. Right? That's the good news. In other words, the nine rovs that were listed at the outset are all disasters, right? But the tenth one, okay, that's not bad. There'll be a time that everyone will put aside everything. Everyone will put aside the gashmias, and they won't be interested. And rather, there'll be lo rov alechem otzam l'man kimush mos divresha. So it appears. But so we think when we hear the pasuk. But when you look at the Medrash in the context of the Medrash, it doesn't seem like that. Because the Medrash is saying that there were 10 Ravs, and it just, you get the feeling, the mashmos of the Medrash is that they were all bad. So how is this bad? How is this bad? So there's a Vart, which is, I think, fairly well known. They say in the name of the Panovich Rav, that he said that this is also bad. This is also bad. Why? Because when there is a famine and people are starving, you'll eat anything. You'll eat anything. You're so desperate for food that you'll eat garbage. Right? People, you speak, some people went through, we shouldn't know, people went through the Holocaust, different situations where they were in terrible matzavim, and what they were ready to eat and what they did eat is just unimaginable. Right? People eat anything. And so it is. So the Panovich Rav said that is the danger of even a spiritual rav. Because when there's a spiritual famine, just like when there's a physical famine, people do crazy things. And people do things which aren't, they may make sense at the moment, but in the big picture, it's not really addressing the need. And therefore, he said that when it comes a time when people at Tsame, Lishmoaz Divrei Hashem, when people are yearning to hear, when you live in a world that's crazy, when you live in a world where you say, this can't be what it was, this cannot be what life is about. It just can't be. It doesn't make any sense. You see things, you walk around, you say, this is crazy. It can't be. So Shaila, so what then? So what then? So the problem is that when there's a rav, l'shmo is divrei Hashem, that means that we live in a time, Rashi on the pasuk says, or somebody says on the pasuk, that there's no neviim, there's nobody around to give good guidance. There's nobody around, or there aren't that many people around to give good hadracha, to give direction to people, what they should do. And in such a time, it's possible that a person will settle for just about anything. And therefore, the Panovich Rav said that he applied it to learning. He applied the learning and said that it's shayach, that at such a time a person will learn a little bit and say, oh, terrific, I took care of the problem, I'm not starving anymore. Just in the same way that a person in a famine will eat something that's very unhealthy, that could be very damaging, right? But unsanitary, whatever it may be, but sof kol sof, it put him out of his hunger. I'm not starving anymore. Now I could at least have some food in my stomach. But that food that you have in your stomach isn't going to do it. It's not necessarily healthy. Or even if it is, but it's not enough. It doesn't have the nutrition. It doesn't have what's needed for a person to sustain himself in the world. So it is in our times. And this is something that the person has to consider. That we live in a time which is definitely, Tsamei L'shmoaz Divrei Hashem, there's no question that you see an unprecedented attraction to learning. People come from all walks of life. People, Baruch Hashem, you see here in the Kol every single night, and you see in other cities, other places, that everyone's coming in to learn, and everyone's busy, everyone has plenty of excuses, and there's no person that wouldn't have what to do if they wouldn't come here to learn. And there's no question that it's because it's a rov l'shmoaz divrei Hashem. But with all of that, we have to say to ourselves that you have to eat right. You have to eat healthy. So therefore, what does it mean to eat healthy? That means that you have to eat good food on a daily basis. Not just a good meal once a week. Not just a chapanash one afternoon. And I have a few minutes, I'll do a Mishnah with my English Mishnayos, or I'll look online and see if it's a gematria that posted over there, right? That a person has to take the opportunity that he has to realize. You have to eat three balanced, healthy meals. Which means, how do you eat a healthy meal when it comes to learning? You have to sit down and learn the Torah, kid the boy. A person has to sit down, do the best they can to learn the Torah with the to learn the Torah be'iyun to whatever degree they can. To sit, the person can't do it himself, so he'll sit down with a chavrusa, with a rebbe, somebody who could teach him, somebody who could learn and learn through a gemara. Learn through. It's not enough. People gravitate sometimes to the neviim. It's interesting. It's so geshmak. You know, Shmuel, the Shmuel, and Malachim. All the fascinating stories and so forth. But okay, enochanami. No doubt that that's part of Talmud Torah. That's mikra. No question about it. But at the same time, the Ikkar, the Gemara says, Lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael elo b'shvil Torah shebal peh. That the person has to come, the person has to apply himself to learn the Gemara, learn Halacha, learn the Torah shebal peh, be involved, apply himself. That's how a person eats healthy meals when there's a rav l'shmo es dibrei Hashem. And much in the same way that they had famines in the time of Avram and people had to relocate, right? Avram had to pick up and Yitzchak Avinu, he couldn't go out of Eretz Yisrael. Had to go to Gerar. It wasn't simple, and they put themselves in all kinds of precarious situations to avoid the rav, to avoid the famine. So too, we have to also, we live in a time of Baruch Hashem, no physical famine, and we have no shaykhus to it. No shaykhus to it in the Western world where we live, no shaykhus. However, we live in a time of unprecedented spiritual famine. And in such a mitzvah, a person has to make sure that once you're going to eat, don't just grab the first thing that you see. Right? Don't just take a little of this, a little of that. Oh, I have food in my stomach, everything is good. You have to know. I have a very dear friend of mine whose father, Shalom Bilor, Moshe Kassir, is a Holocaust survivor. He was in Auschwitz. He was bar mitzvah in Auschwitz. And he related that when he was released, when they were liberated, so everyone was obviously in a terrible situation. And I don't remember exactly the details, but one of the armies that, whoever the liberating army was, somebody there felt very bad for these people and brought meat and brought fatty meat to the camps and said, you people, you haven't seen food in the who knows what. What have you been eating for the last few years? You all look like skeletons. Here, have some meat. And at the time, the natural reaction to the people, Shem Yerachim, people being liberated from concentration camps. So naturally, they were running. They were running to get it. And there were a few wise men, a few wise people who said, don't touch it, it's going to kill you. Don't touch it. But there were people who couldn't overcome the temptation. And we obviously can't imagine even such a thing. And they ate it. And in fact, they died. The terrible, terrible irony that here, people, someone came to help. But because what they had wasn't in it, that is the dynamic of a rav. That's what happens when a person is desperate. When a person is desperate for something, you'll do anything. And when a person is desperate in ruchnius, when a person is desperate l'shma es divrei Hashem, all kinds of things are possible, and a person could allow himself to think that, oh, I took care of the problem. But we have to do with an approach. We have to cling. Baruch Hashem, you have here a vibrant kol here in the neighborhood. A person has to accomplish talmidei chachamim. A person has to cling to that and say, okay, this is the Torah is learned properly. The Torah is learned here without agendas. The Torah is learned here l'shma. The Torah is learned l'amita shel Torah with an effort to understand the Torah as best as one can. That cannot necessarily be said all over. That shingle cannot necessarily be hung up every place Torah is studied. But it can be hung up here. And therefore, this is something that we have to consider. Shavuos, it's Shavuos Kabbalah Torah. You can't walk away from Shavuos without a Kabbalah Torah. You just can't. It doesn't matter. Whatever else happens, it doesn't make any difference. So, yeah, okay, I said, Halal, the mitzvah, the avon, the shul, shkayach. Well, Maisa, that's not, for that you don't have Shavuos. For that you don't have Shavuos. Shavuos you have for Kabbalah Torah, it's nogeah to every single person. If it was nogeah to Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Osman Horkins could look him in the eye and say, you're going to get it the worst because you should have really been here. And who are you, to Rabbi Akiva? Yeah, because Fakert, you're the biggest chacham, so you could have gained the most. So then there's no excuse. Then there's no person that could say that it doesn't apply to me. The Ani, the Usher, the Baal Taiva, makes no difference. Whatever matzvah person is, the Kam Shavuos, we have to be mechazik ourselves, to commit ourselves, to learn more. You walk away from Shavuos with a commitment to learn even a little bit more. I heard a story. I think this is Yadua. I don't remember where I heard it from, but it's an accurate story. That I believe that when Rav Naftali Trupp, the Raden Rosh Hashiva, the great Gaon Rav Naftali Trupp, became ill. So in his yeshiva, so that, like it happens all over in yeshivas, that people sign up to make schusim, you know, to learn a little extra. There should be a schus refuah shleima. So they went to the Chafetz Chaim, it was his yeshiva, even though he wasn't acting Magid Shir, but it was his yeshiva. So they went and said to the Rebbe Naftali, the Rosh Yeshiva is sick. What could you do? So he made a cheshbon, and I don't remember the number. Maybe someone here can correct me. But he said, I believe he said, I will learn 3 minutes more for the schusim. So it sounded, how can you say such a thing? That's all you're going to do for such a person, right? The person who was the one of the greatest of all the Gedol Rosh Hashivas and the glorious Dar of Torah before the Chorban. But the Teretz is because he understood. He had his whole day cheshbened out. So it wasn't like he had much time to play with. But from the other side of it, he understood that a few minutes of learning is a davar chashuv. That a few minutes of learning is going to be a big schus for him. I'm helping him. He wasn't like, you know, I'm making an appeal and you give a quarter. You know, it wasn't like that. He was saying that this is, I'm helping too. That's something that everybody could do. That's something, whether it's bekamas or be'echus, whether it's whether it's a question of a person taking upon himself more time that he's going to learn, or that when he comes to learn, he's going to learn with a greater intensity. He'll shut off his phone. He won't get the annoying text messages and emails every 30 seconds when he's listening to a shir that distracts him. That would be a great Kabbalah Zotar. That's it. This Shavuos, I was so inspired that now when I come to the car, I leave my phone at home. That would be a tremendous thing. It doesn't have to be that now I'm going to become the Gadol Adar. It doesn't work that way. But the fact is that every growth, every little step forward, it results in tremendous peros. And that's something that we just have to realize. And that's the mitzvah of Shavuos. That's the yontif of Shavuos. That's the message that we have to take from Shavuos. We should be zocheh to have a meaningful yontif, a wonderful yontif, and we should go forward in strength with a greater commitment to the Limud HaTorah in the future.